100, deciding that the big 12-gauge Smith & Wesson M4000, with its murderous Remington flechettes, was a better weapon for hunting bear. Ryan carried the SSG-70 Steyr rifle across his shoulders, with the Sig Sauer holstered, as ever, on his hip, balanced by the heavy cleaver on the other side. Trader had his Armalite, while the rest of them carried their usual handguns. A group of a dozen or so of the Institute's sec men waited on the far side of the open hallway, glancing across at the Outlanders. They were mostly armed with Mossberg scatterguns, five of them carrying the big M16A1s that Ryan had seen them holding before. Ellison strode through the double doors from the main accommodation wing. He nodded to his men, marching straight across to Ryan.
Your people all ready?
Yeah. Did you enjoy your snowball fight out there?
What? I ain't been outside since yesterday. No, day before, when you and your friends were brought in here. And there wasn't no snow then, except in the high peaks.
My mistake. It's just that I looked out the window of the John, and I could have sworn that I saw you and some other sec men fooling around outside.
I don't reckon... Well, it sure as shit wasn't me, but...
Yeah?
No, nothing.
Who's coming with us? Any of the white coats?
Probably Buford. He likes squeezing the trigger on something living. And maybe Professor Gibson.
Which one's Gibson? The woman with the 180-degree stare?
It's best you don't mention Thea Gibson's walleye to her, or you'll finish up under her knife.
Knife? I thought that the scientists were supposed to have forgotten all the medical ways of curing people with surgery.
You don't get cured with old Thea's knife.
Ellison's expression changed as he saw two figures come through the double swing doors toward them.
That's enough said, Outlanders. Not a whispered word about this to any white coat.
Buford wore a full-length slicker over what seemed an amazing array of padded clothes. He carried a long gun over his shoulder and leaned on his walking cane. Ryan recognized the rifle as being a Winchester 94 centerfire carbine, a six-round, lever-action weapon.
What model's that, Buford? Standard, angle eject, or the big bore?
You certainly know your firearms, Outlander Dix. It's the big bore model, chambered to take the 375 round.
Right, of course it is. I should have spotted the rubber recoil pad on the end of the stock. You can put a good hole in a bear with that.
Oh, I most certainly hope so. Let me introduce my colleague, Professor Dorothea Gibson. Thea for short.
Like many of the white coats, Thea Gibson was slender, standing close to 6 feet. Her iron gray hair was scraped back into a tight knot at the back of her head. Her bright blue eyes were as cold as Arctic pack ice, one looking at Ryan, the other seeming to have a life of its own, roaming off toward the overhead clock. On her shoulder, she had a slender bolt-action rifle with a scope sight.
Kind of dainty blaster for going after bear, ain't it?
A .22 bullet will kill the largest creature if it is aimed correctly. And I have 5 of them in this rifle.
Remind me to keep out of your way.
Like all men, you have a preoccupation with size, Outlander. You are laboring under a misconception. Ladlo, shall we go?
Yes. Of course, Thea. Is everyone ready? We have a day's provisions in packs carried by the security forces who are accompanying us.
Then let's do it.
There was an old pre-dark thermometer fixed to the outside of the building by the doors, and Ryan glanced at it as they walked past. It showed an ambient temperature of -8 degrees, but there was a biting near gale blowing in from the northeast that must have brought the wind chill reading to nearly -25. Trader was complaining before the hunting party had even gone 100 yards from the main entrance of the Institute.
Ugh, it's bastard ball freezing out here.
Should have stayed home with the girls. I borrowed some warmer clothes.
The day I need advice from you, Abe, is the day that hell freezes over. Ugh, shit. It just might be today.
The snow had eased, but there was still a scattering of fine, grain-like flakes whirling past. The wind was picking them up and spinning them around the parking lot like miniature tornadoes of white powder. Everyone had covered as much exposed flesh as possible against the icy blast. Scarves and gloves were essential wear. Dean had on his dark blue peaked cap, pulled low over his eyes, and trudged behind his father, trying to use him as shelter from the worst of the wind. Doc slapped the boy on the back.
Bear it bravely, young'un. Foot it featly. This is nothing compared to some of the cold times that I knew in the old days.
I don't care about the old days. I care that it's so rad blasted cold here and now, Doc.
I can recall a time that the hairs up inside my nose froze into ice.
I remember up near the lakes one winter when I took a spit and it froze in the air and tinkled on the ground to solid ice.
Jack was walking with them, his long hair seeming to mingle with the snow, his face like carved ivory, his ruby eyes glowing.
I once came north from the swamps, near Atlantic. Birds dropped dead from the sky with the cold. Covered fields for miles.
Trader was exercising as he stepped along, holding the Armalite by the barrel and swinging it as if he were aiming for a homer into the heart of the bleachers.
You lot are just home babies, talking about how cold it was. None of you can imagine the years that followed on the heels of the long nuke winters. Regale us, Trader.
Both of them knew that Trader had an infinite capacity for rattling off the tallest of tales.
I remember falling asleep in a forest and waking with my eyes frozen shut. I got them clear and stood up in the snow to take a leak. I started to piss, and it started freezing from the ground up, turning into a golden ladder of pure ice.
Damn!
Well, kid, the freezing ice was getting nearer and nearer to
To your willy?
Yeah. That's what I was gonna say. My willy! I knew that it would freeze right up inside me until my bladder froze, and then my heart and lungs would turn to ice.
What did you do?
I pulled out my knife and hacked down at the stream of piss, and I cut clear through it just in time. Another inch or so, and little Trader would have been dead Trader. Now, what do you think of that?
I think that's a pointless and grotesque outlander tale that contains not a word of truth from its pathetic beginning to its sorry end.
Well now, Whitecoat Gibson, I doubt you've ever had much experience with a man's dick, so how would you know?
Trader turned his back on the woman and walked ahead, his head bowed against the blizzard. Professor Gibson looked around for Ellison, beckoned him to her, and whispered something in his ear. She looked angered when he shook his head and moved away. The wide, hidden valley seemed to exaggerate the force of the weather, trapping the wind and snow and whirling it around like a huge mixing bowl. The group plodded back up the trail, passing the barrier where the Sekhmen were sheltering in their huts. They went over the ridge and into the more open country, where the wind wasn't as severe and the snow eased. Ellison, who was running the hunting expedition, gathered everyone around him in the lee of a granite outcrop that was dusted with frozen snow.
The grizzly and her cub were sighted around this area. In the past 4 or 5 years, in winter, they've sometimes come over the highland to the north of us, making their way across what's left of the causeway, particularly if there's been a very hard winter in old Canada.
I remember we killed 2 in the same month, not all that far from here. It was a long day's expedition near Witch Hole Pond.
We were able to try out a cub in the labs that time. It didn't work out too well. Adrenaline was an unexpected problem. But we've made such progress in the last couple of years.
Thea, please remember that we have been told by Crichton to take care about risking exposure of any element of our work to the Outlanders, however undeniably pleasant they might be.
Of course, Ladro. My enthusiasm for my work sometimes carries me along just that few steps too far. Forgive me.
We should be moving. We want to get this over and get back again before dark. The weather could turn real nasty.
I concur.
The sky, that had seemed the darkest gray at breakfast time, had cleared and lightened a little. But over to the north it was now nearly black, and the snow was already falling a little faster again.
So how are we doing this? There's 20 or so of us in this party.
Ellison looked at him, lifting a finger to rub the scar. The bitter cold had made it darker against the pallor of the man's face.
We'll split up. 3 groups, I think. There's several trails to bring us to Witch Hole Pond. We can cover them all. I'll lead 1 group, Professor Buford can guide the 2nd, and Professor Gibson the 3rd.
Ryan caught JB's eye, getting a cautious nod in return. Dividing into 3 meant splitting their own party, and with a dozen Sekhmen around, that could prove risky. But there still hadn't been any kind of direct threat to any of them. Ellison took 4 Sekhmen, plus Jack and Abe. Buford had 4 more Sekhmen, along with Doc, JB, and Dean. Professor Gibson had 5 Sekhmen, Ryan and Trader with her. She took her party to one side before they all divided up.
Just one thing, gentlemen. I know that you two outlanders are not used